This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:48 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Chuang and Chen Li on Friday, the 22nd of April. In Malaysia, more politicians of different sides are opting to air their views in a public debate. Now, back in November, we witnessed the debate between Transport Minister Datuk Sri Wickasiong and DAP Secretary General Lim Guan Eng on the revocation of the cabotage exemption policy. Does anyone remember that?
And now, PKR President Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim and former Prime Minister Dato' Sri Najib Razak will have a debate on the 12th of May at University of Malaya. This highly anticipated debate will discuss the financially troubled Sapura Energy Berhad, then shift focus to Malaysia's economic and political future, and then conclude with a question and answer session.
Yeah, the challenge to the debate was first issued by Rafizi Ramli, PKR's Vice President, to Najib on the bailout of Sapura Energy, and then Najib later responded he wanted to debate Anwar instead. So we've seen many political debates happening in parliaments, or famously between presidential candidates in other countries. But the question remains, what's the purpose of such events, and can it work in a, and how can they work in a political campaign?
So for some thoughts on this, we have on the line with us Tai Zikin, Digital Political Communications Consultant. Zikin, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. So, you know, set the scene for us. What are the main purposes of debates between politicians? And do they come with any drawbacks, I suppose? Could these events actually backfire on the candidates?
There are many reasons that we have political debates. First is to actually discuss some policies. But we have to know that debates were conducted primarily during an election, because that's where the parliament or the Congress is not in session. So you need an avenue to allow the public and audiences to understand what are the things, what are the crux of a political party or a politician's manifesto, or what are they trying to actually bring forth to the country. But when the parliament is in session, such debates usually happen much lesser and less frequent, because it rightfully should be conducted in the Houses of Parliament or in the Congress, because the purpose of having a parliament is to debate on policies issues, which are the only and the main relevant debate that should be conducted by politicians. So the drawbacks in this sense is that if you are doing it outside the Houses of Parliament, it's not controlled by the processes, which means that you have a free hand to go into any aspect of the of a subject matter, and a lack of holistic understanding of the relevant premises among the audiences might cause the debate to be dysfunctional. But at the same time, as you said earlier, if, let's say, for instance, something went wrong or a new fact was being raised without being informed to the other party, and the reputation of such politician might be compromised a little bit.
In that case, then, how should political debates be facilitated or done in a Malaysian context?
In Malaysia context, it's a little bit different, primarily because of the languages. So Malaysia is a multi-language society, but not most Malaysians are not polyglot. So it first have to be set on the premises that everyone has to be in, the debate has to be conducted in language that everyone is familiar with. So as we saw, the debate between Lim Guan Eng and Wickasing was conducted fluently in Bahasa Malaysia, or the national language. So if the Minister of Transport back then is someone who is not as fluent as the current Minister of Transport, he might have a handicap in this debate. That's one. Number two, politicians in Malaysia are generally very risk averse. So especially when it comes to presenting themselves and their thoughts. So what appeals to the right audience might not appeal to the public or general audience in that sense. So they have to constantly weigh the pro and cons, and also the numbers as to what is the end goal. If they can convince public and get their buy-in, but at the same time does not convince the right, what we call relevant audience, right, then it wouldn't be a big win to them. So which is why they are more reluctant. As to how to facilitate that in Malaysian context, right, it must be moderated diligently. Because when it's done outside the house, there's no speaker or no rules to govern the content of the debate, which allows the topic to sway out from what it was initially intended. So that would become a tit for tat and a mudslinging sessions, which we saw in many of the debates that were held at the lower level. So I think the most important part that we must have is a very diligent moderator who keeps the debate within the four corners of the subject matter.
Yeah, Zikin, British parliamentary debates have become the stuff of legend precisely because they are so vigorously argued and moderated. But they are a staple of the British political landscape. precisely because of those reasons, do you think that live political debates should become a norm in Malaysia so that you can assess your candidates, you can see the level of preparation and how good they are or not going forward?
Yeah, it depends on what we mean by the debate structure. For instance, the parliamentary debate that is happening in Malaysia is live now. It's just that people are not really that interested as compared to the British people, simply because the debate itself, the content and the exchange of words were not as intriguing as the one that is happening in the Commons. Whereas in the Commons, people who were put in the Parliament were sufficiently trained in debate. So it is all about the content that you put up. So you were asking earlier if it should be done live. Yes, it is already live in the Malaysian Parliament. And whatever they're doing in the live TV in the Malaysian Parliament, during the Malaysian Parliament sitting, is itself a debate. It's just that it was not done nicely and intriguing enough for the public to sit down. However, there were exceptions. Like, for instance, on the 26th of July, we saw YWKJ debating about the vaccines with many opposition leaders taking a jab at him. And that is how exactly a very mature debate should be. I mean, vaguely resembling of what we call a mature debate in the parliament. And many people actually sat down for the whole hour just to listen to that debate per se. But in England, for instance, there are many other components in the Commons that were not practiced here in Malaysia. For instance, the prime ministerial debate on Wednesday, the ministerial debate, which were done very frequently with their counterpart from the shadow cabinet. That's something that we can emulate and encourage people to watch and encourage perhaps the media to constantly quote and make reference to the content of such debates.
Should then these debates and these interactions be then required as part of the parliamentary reform system where you've got much more transparency within the House than it is presently?
I think that is a must, sir. The only problem that we have is not so much about whether or not the coverage should be given or the debate should be conducted, because it is being conducted currently and it is being covered live in Parliament TV. The problem, the crux of the issue, is that the people are not familiar with how to sit down and watch such debate. So there are a few things that we can do. First is to encourage them to watch parliamentary debate and encourage the media to cover it more widely, for instance. And the second thing is to, of course, upskill our parliamentarians and politicians' skills in debate. Their way of debate is more towards a mudslinging style, which is what they've been doing outside the parliament houses. So I think an upskill process should have been done. As you mentioned, parliamentary reform should, in my opinion, should go both ways. First, in setting the structure that will encourage debate to go on more frequently. Second, it must have a way to encourage parliamentarians to conduct their debate in a more professional and, in a way, intriguing style that would later on enhance their own political knowledge. Yeah.
And if we look at this upcoming debate between Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim and Datuk Sri Najib Razak, it's not happening in Parliament. It's not part of an election campaign. We may be going into the realm of speculation here, but what do you think are the motivations for this kind of debate to take place?
Yeah, I think this is a result of a tip for tat that went on and on between Datuk Sri Najib and Rafizi Ramli about Sakura. So later on, Datuk Sri Anwar was involved as well. So in my opinion, I think Rafizi and Datuk Sri Anwar are very persuasive debaters. I think they have very excellent debating skills. Who naturally want to debate on a topic that were, you know, that would work in their favor through exchange of words. Whereas Datuk Sri Najib, in my opinion, were very keen in debunking what he called untrue allegations by Rafizi. So it's really, really just a style of presenting disagreement over a bunch of facts. But I do not think that the general audience might appreciate the nature of this debate. As you said earlier, the debate on the cabotage issue between the two politicians, right? They were so technical that what they were essentially doing were trying to water down the technicalities and focus only on informations that the lay people, like general public, can consume. But that itself has derailed the nature, the debate, the purpose of the debate. So I think the motivation is, from Dato' Sri Anwar and Rafizi side, they would like to test their skill of debates, which is what they have been doing all this while, whenever they could, because they had very strong debate background. Whereas for Dato' Sri Najib, as a trained industrial economist, right, he want to just comment and debate on the technical aspect regarding to corporate governance in an oil and gas company, which in my opinion is the crux of the real issue. So that would be the two motivations for the politicians from both sides.
Okay. And very quickly, just 30 seconds left. These debate or performances change the outcome of election or any impact to the elections?
Oh, definitely. But also it depends on how frequent these debates are held and what are the issues that we pick as the topic of the debates. So debates is perhaps the, in my opinion, the most powerful tool to ascertain what we call political competency. However, in Malaysia, where we practice parliamentary democracy as opposed to a presidential election, the person's appeal has to be weighed against the party's appeal. So regardless of how much debate you're going on, if the party is not something that the people are jiving well with or are resonating well with, I don't think a debate would change much.
Thanks very much for your time this morning, Zikin. That was Tai Zikin, digital political communications consultant, weighing in on the value of political debates and whether they have a place in our context here.
Yeah, I think it's a general acknowledgement that Malaysia's parliamentarians are not quite up to scratch, only with the exception of a few of them, right? I think one way to automatically or naturally raise the game where parliamentarians are concerned is to make sure that the political debates are broadcast live on national broadcast platforms, not just TV1, TV2, but all over the country on a daily basis and in a very structured format, one-on-ones, moderated, not within like a entire hall where it's a very loose and free-for-all situation where debates on upcoming bills are being presented by both sides of political divide, one-on-one and moderated professionally with subtitles and translations as well, thereby showing the flaws or not of the candidates in play.
Transparency is always important, yes, right? So having that avenue, allowing the public to see into what goes on in parliament. But it should also be remembered that our Malaysian parliament is one of those parliaments that have the fewest days of sitting. We sit so little days out of the year compared to the UK, for example. Hence, there's less time to debate. That's been a conundrum for our parliament. It's a perennial conundrum, yeah?
Do you remember the time we talked about the SOSMA, extension of SOSMA, and how few parliamentarians turned up for the sitting and to the debate? That was astonishing. I mean, how many, 35 of them didn't turn up or something? It was astounding.
So again, a lot of flaws in our parliamentary system that we could look into and strengthen further, for sure. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.